News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, if you find yourself driving outside the overly broad range of our AM, FM capabilities here at WVNN, just, I mean, that basically means you're out of North Alabama, South Tennessee. Do not matter. You can dial us in no matter where you are in the world. Go to any device you've got, whether your smartphone, your iPad, your computer, whatever. Go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is what I like to say. I just had a friend tell me this morning that she was literally, she got stuck in Seattle because of all the flight cancellations over Christmas. She and her husband had to drive all the way back from Seattle because there was no indication when flights were going to be restored. I mean, what a heck of a thing. You think you're going to get on a three-hour flight and you wind up on a four-day sojourn. But nonetheless, she listened to the show while they were driving back across the country, so that's kind of cool. And we are, by the way, the downloads for the podcast are pushing 20,000 right now. We're well over 19,000. And so just if you miss part of the show, you want to send part of the show to somebody else, or you want to rehear part of it and figure out what it was that Copper or I said, all you got to do is go to rightsideradio.org and you can download podcast segments there in like 10, 20 minute segments. So that's all good. You know, I got the triple dipper I'm going to be getting to in a minute, but we got a couple of things going on. Let me tell you one piece of breaking news. Charlene just sent this to me, so I've got the screen up right now trying to see if I can find the story. It's not up back up yet, but apparently, you may remember Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York. There was an investigation into the way he handled the nursing home situation and whether or not his administration tried to cover up by hiding information on how many deaths there had been. The transfers of people into nursing homes causing more deaths by the way he had handled it as a governor. Well, it appears that a former, I don't know about DA. Anyway, the bottom line is the district attorney appears to have closed the case. In other words, they're not pursuing it is what it sounds like. If I hear differently, I will let you know. Something else I didn't know. Copper, what was it you were telling me about Venmo? What was that thing you were telling me right before the show started?
Oh, yes. So apparently snuck into the American Rescue Plan Act is a new tax rule. So if you transfer funds through peer-to-peer apps like Venmo, Cash App, Zelle, the like, if you exceed $600 in a year that you've received, then you have to pay taxes on it.
Like to who? I mean, a transfer tax to the government? This, like,
yes.
For what?
It's considered income then. Although there seems to be some disagreement of whether it'll be automatically taxed or if I think the government is going to send you a 1099-K form and you have to choose what you report if...
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, if you use it for like a side business, like selling furniture on the side or something.
Well, what if you're just doing things like, your friend loaned you $20 and you just Venmoed them the repayment? That's not even income at that point.
No,
what do you do then?
It's not. I'm not sure.
That's the way we wind up using those things more often than not. Is like, you know, everybody chips in for a wedding gift or something like that, and one person buys it, we all pay them back, and that's really not the same thing. That's not income. That's just one more. I mean, they're going to find a way to get your money is what it boils down to.
Yeah, so you have to prove it, basically. I'm seeing a post here that says, if you sell a couch to someone online for $1,200, as long as you can prove with a receipt that you originally paid more than that for the couch, it's not considered taxable income. But you have to prove it.
God almighty, they're trying to get capital gains off you. You shucking off your stuff at the garage sale. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Good Lord. All right, we'll keep watching it. Yeah, it's just amazing to me. I mean, we're seeing one thing after another. I just, you know, we'll just do what we got to do. But at the same time, I look at it and think, okay, render under Caesar that which is Caesar's. I don't know that Caesar had Venmo back then, you know. but then again, at the same time, the law of the land is what it is. I think that's what Jesus was referring to. He wasn't saying pay the ones you like. But man, that's just amazing. All right, we're going to be getting into more stuff here in a minute because we're so close to the break, I'm not going to kick it off yet. But the reality is this. We've got stuff happening left and right, not the least of which is another breaking story. Just came out on Fox a little while ago. I got it pulled up on the screen here. Yeah, here it is. Governor Ron DeSantis is telling the Biden administration they need to stop impeding states' abilities to purchase monoclonal antibodies for their citizens. And what he's saying right now is that for a while there, we could, like, if you remember this, I said it on the show a while back. It was breaking news back, you know, several months ago, that Governor DeSantis, in what I consider to be a pretty solid piece of leadership, he decided to go out and start buying antibodies for the state of Florida so they could have them because they felt like they were being restricted by the federal government. Well, he says now the federal government has so cornered the market that you have to apply to the HHS, the federal government, basically, to be allowed to get them. And folks, that's socialized healthcare at that point. They're deciding who gets the treatments that are known to be good treatments. And what they're trying to really do, in my opinion, is drive you to the vaccine. God forbid you'd have a treatment that is not a vaccine. Yeah. Yep. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis calling out the Biden administration. Glad we have a governor in the Southeast that will do that. We don't have one in Alabama right now that will do that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right here on the News Talk Powerhouse in North Alabama. According to the stats, this is the biggest show across North Alabama in the afternoons, and we are proud of it. And it's because of y'all, by the way. It's not because of us. It's because of y'all. We have great listeners. Bunch of right side ruffians, we like to call them. And we appreciate you, all of you. So, hey, Copper, I got a caller on line five already. I'll go ahead and do that. Let me just grab line five, Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, Phil Williams, how you doing today, man? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Welcome back.
Hey, thank you,
and
sir.
On
thank
that
you.
Point, the Venmo and everything that you were discussing and capital gains is not going to be that long based on the inflation that they have imposed, but because it's a fixed rate at $600, not adjusted for inflation. If you buy somebody a steak at a restaurant, bingo, you're going to have to pay taxes on that, too.
Yeah. Toilet paper, milk, and bread, you've already hit $600, right?
Yep.
That's a great point. You know, and I haven't seen it. Oh, is he already gone? All right, he dropped off real quick. Thanks, Brian, for the call. Appreciate that. I have not seen it. Copper, I know you had the link up there a while ago, but I have not reviewed the link in the legislation. But do you know, Copper, did they scale that like it increases over time, or is it fixed at 600 in perpetuity until Congress changes it?
Yeah, it's fixed at 600 per year.
Okay, so they don't have a scale like for the first 3 years, and then it goes to 700, then it goes to 800. They don't have a plan like that you know?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, boy. Well, see, legislators can get crafty like that. I mean, look at our gas tax in Alabama. It was one amount, and now it's another amount just because they scaled it. They let it come in over time. So, yeah, keep an eye on your Venmo is what I'm saying. All right, so I am jumping forward now into the Triple Dipper. Social media hijinks is what I'm calling the first section of the Triple Dipper. And I got to tell you, there's some freak show stuff out there on Twitter and on Facebook and on things that are being said and done in social media by the social media companies. All right, so let me ask you this. Stop and think about it. Have you ever thought in your mind about where, like for, we'll just call it the public square. Where is the public square now? I mean, we are an electronic society. We're also a very mobile society. Used to be back in the day that people would go down to the town square and they'd gather and hear speeches. If you were a politician, you might have given a speech at the train station or in the public square. Where's the public square now? And some are saying that social media has become the new public square. That's not just me saying that. I knew I had heard it. I had to go back and take a look. I got several things to look at here, not the least of which is a court case. When did this come out? It's Pakenham v. North Carolina. The ruling came out. Here's Lawyer Phil talking. This is a 2018 article. So, yeah, a December 2018 article that literally says that In 2017, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Packingham v. North Carolina that social media platforms are the new public square, that access to them is protected by the First Amendment, which guarantees free speech, but that does not mean that there are no limitations on how social media can be used. Okay, that's interesting to me, because if you think about it, they're construing things the way they want to still under the guise that they know better. Now, it's their platform. All right, so legally speaking, it's their platform. You don't have to sign up for it. You know, it's the old thing. Well, go make your own Twitter if you don't like ours. Okay, that's neat. But while that's not always available, when you become such a monopoly, and I've said it on here before, some of y'all can remember probably back when we used to call it Ma Bell, when the telephone company was the sole source of communication. I mean, it wasn't like we had Verizon, T-Mobile, you know, all AT&T, all the different, you know, platforms upon which you could have your cell phone. And if y'all are like us, Charlene and I don't even have a landline phone at the house anymore. But there was a day, copper well before your time, there was a day when a company known as Bell Telephone, which we used to call Ma Bell because it was the mother of all communications, but Ma Bell owned telephones. Period. And the Bell Telephone Company got deregulated and broken up. And, you know, it was because it was the public square. Well, are we looking at that again? How can social media continue to portray itself as simply just that private entity where some people want to come and use our services? We paid for it. Yes, you did. But then again, when does it become such a monopoly? Think about this. When does it become such a monopoly that there's no other recourse available? That in order for you to communicate your point to your constituents as a public official, or for you to communicate your response back to your public official, or for you to be able to espouse an opinion that freedom of speech says you should be able to, when does it become such a thing, social media, that it is the new public square? Well, the U.S. Supreme Court's already ruled that it is now. So how does that work when they can do things like, I'm looking at a story right now, pulled this off of Fox Business, January 3rd, that would be today. So Facebook, quote, permanently locks the account of a conservative children's book publisher. Okay, pray tell, what egregious thing did this person do? Did they get on there and incite violence? Did they call for people to enter into rebellion? No, they wrote kids' books about true conservatives. Yep, you heard me. So a series of books titled Heroes of Liberty by a conservative children's book publisher. They have books like Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett. They have one on Ronald Reagan. They have one on author and conservative advocate Thomas Sowell. That somehow those violate the rules against what they called, quote, low quality or disruptive content. What? Okay, so Facebook has locked out this company. And the company said, we had scheduled our entire media campaign around social media. We were buying ads on Facebook. We were working the usual targeting you're allowed to do on Facebook to certain communities. Well, so the question is asked in this article. Is a children's biography of Ronald Reagan really not permissible on Facebook? Why would this be? Well, the lady who runs the business says, we're not in politics. We're just in the business of creating beautiful stories about great people that entertain children and give them life lessons. And Facebook has locked them out. So that's what we're looking at right now. That kind of thing is happening. Well, new stuff was happening even just this weekend. But as I get into it, let me tell you why it's also so important. It's not just because it's the public square. It's not. I think I've said it on here before. There are stats now that show that upwards of 70% of all American adults who check the news check it through either Facebook or Twitter. 70% of people get their news sourcing in the United States through one of those two platforms. Wow, that's huge. I wrote a piece, I used this before as a title, so I'll say it again because it always sticks out in my mind. Before I ever had this radio show, I thought, if I ever get a chance, I'm going to use this. Well, so John Mayer, the singer-songwriter. So anyway, all said and done, John Mayer has a song where he says, when you own the information, you can bend it all you want. And that's where we are. They can choose to bend the information where they want to. Well, when they're the ones who own the news sourcing, what do you do when the rest of the news is not worth going to because you can't get straight news on it? Story off of Newsbusters. Newsbusters.org dated 2 days ago, January 1, 2022. I'm not used to saying 2022 yet. It's going to take me about 361 more days to get used to saying 2022. But anyway, title of the article was, "The State of the Media is Not Good." Not good. Well, yeah. So President Gerald Ford, back when he took office after Nixon and Spiro Agnew had both resigned, Gerald Ford, I'm sorry, took office. He gave a speech to the State of the Union. He said the State of the Union is not good. Well, they're saying right now the state of the media right now in 2022 is not good. And they talk about the fact in this article on Newsbusters that literally what you find so often is that the media will very often find the storyline they want and they will stick with it at all costs. Like, don't let go. If we let go now, it'll be perceived as weakness. So they'll stick with a narrative even if it no longer works. And that's what they call it. It's called the narrative. So when the narrative is being twisted, when they own the information, so they bend it all they want, and those are the only sources you have available to you, so you turn to social media to get commentary or to get links to other stories, and then social media begins to delete those out or weed them out or at least suppress them so you can't see them, what are you stuck with? You're stuck with the narrative that they've all created. And the story on Newsbusters goes straight in there. And then it talks about, too, the fact that, my gosh, y'all, things like, if you remember, the Wall Street Journal pointed out just recently that the New York Times opinion editor, he lost his job because he had the audacity to run an op-ed by Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton. And then over at the Philadelphia Inquirer, the senior editor, a guy named Stan Wisnowski, resigned because he dared to, you know, say that the burning of buildings in the riots last year was important and buildings mattered too. Oh, okay. God forbid. Well, what about the fact that in 2020, the New York Times literally had their op-ed staff editor and writer, Barry Weiss, she resigned. And she sent a blistering open letter out saying that basically that the media was falling apart and it was no longer what she thought it was. So here's the deal. I'm telling you right now that the storylines are that the media forms the narrative. The media then, in conjunction with social media, can decide what you get to see. And you have to really search to find stories that will report more than what they call the narrative. We're going to a break right now. When we get back, I'm going to tell you about some things that happened just over the weekend. Chill that music. Just over the weekend that literally show that they are trying to set the narrative and keep you from finding certain information. Oh, wow. It happened this weekend. It's fresh. And I'll tell you about it when we get back. It's what I call social media hijinks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, you got to first of all ask yourself, all right, why are we doing this, Phil? We know the liberals are in social media. They've got control of it. Copper, go ahead and get clip 6. I know you had it ready a minute ago. Go ahead and highlight that for me when you got it so you're good to hook. All right, you're already ready. That's good. So let's do this. I got a short clip. I say short. It's about a minute and a half. There's a Twitter feed. It's kind of funny. Every once in a while, Twitter can just aggravate the stew out of you. Facebook can lock out your account. And then you find stuff that keeps getting by. And you sort of wonder, how are they allowed to get by because everybody else is getting shut down? Of course, TikTok is one of the new social media platforms. There's a Twitter feed that I follow that is both alarming and hilarious all at the same time. If we have time later, I might play you one of the freakouts from TikTok. But this Twitter feed is called Libs of TikTok. If you haven't seen it yet and you're on Twitter, you ought to go check it out. Libs of TikTok. Well, Libs of TikTok, the originator of it, continues to find these folks who are just having these meltdowns, having these extremely liberal moments like, oh, they said the inside words on the outside, and puts them out there so the world can see it. Sometimes it's hilarious, and like I said, sometimes it's alarming. But she's kept her identity secret because she knows that they'll come after her. They'll dox her. They'll do all the things necessary. And so far, she's been able to maintain her anonymity in running this Twitter feed called Libs of TikTok. Well, she did her first interview without giving away her identity on Fox not long ago. Clip 6 is a part of that segment of that interview. Carper, let's go ahead and try clip 6, see how it goes.
Means to you and the impact it's having.
Yeah, so it started really as a joke, and then it kind of grew into this force for exposing many teachers and other things that are going on in society. And I think for me, the most powerful part of it is exposing the teachers. It's such an honor and a little bit of a responsibility, I feel. Mm-hmm. I owe to our kids to show everyone what these teachers are doing. And when there's actually action taken, so meaning a teacher gets fired or suspended, it's a really great feeling.
And, you know, what I appreciate here, I mean, some of this, it can be dangerous. You know, these individuals are saying things that, you know, when we talk about the radicalization of parents and what we want being taught in the school, that you know, the establishments don't know about this. The schools don't know that this is going on. So it is important at the same time. I'm going to guess that you've received a lot of threats. Do you feel that you've been endangered? Do you think Twitter's going to cancel your account? How do things look like that when it comes to proceeding on and your own sense of safety and value?
Yeah, so I do get some DMs with hate mail. I just delete them. I don't really respond.
Good.
Yeah, as far as Twitter, their new policy, I think they purposely wrote it to confuse us, and so they can, you know, pick and choose who gets to keep their account and who violated.
Yeah.
So for now, I mean, I'm just going to continue what I'm doing. I feel like if they wanted me off, they would have done it already. They had so many opportunities.
Well, go ahead and stop it there, Copper. Go ahead and stop it there. So that's what you're hearing there is on the one side. Liberals do stuff on Twitter all the time, and this young lady's got a thing called Libs of TikTok where she's exposing them, and she's bringing them out, because some of them, you'll find out, like, one will be on there bragging about how they're a teacher, and they love recruiting kids into the gay community, because it's their mission in life, not to teach, but to recruit into the gay community. Another one's on there talking about how, you know, pedophilia is really not that bad. Well, oh, excuse me. And then, you know, another one's on there just having a complete meltdown. And so, yeah, I'll play that clip in a minute, Copper. You'll see. But Copper's in, like, you know, all caps mode right here on the board. But literally, it seems like the tables have flipped when it comes to conservatives posting their stuff on social media. So just this weekend, there was you may have heard of Joe Rogan. He's a mixed martial arts guy who now has a nationally respected podcast. And he interviewed a guy named Dr. Robert Malone, who was one of the founders or originators of the mRNA technology that's being used in the COVID vaccines. And yet he's speaking out against it. So Joe Rogan did a big interview with him. Joe Rogan on his podcast, which is called The Joe Rogan Experience. And so I follow Joe Rogan on Twitter. And I literally got on my Twitter one day, I think it was Friday or Saturday, and I saw the post that said, my interview with Dr. Malone. And before I could touch it, it disappeared. While I was looking at it, it went away. And I thought, what just happened? Did Twitter just take that down? Well, they did. Twitter took it down because they believed that it dared to go somehow contrary to what I told you a while ago, the narrative as to what is considered safe and effective responses to COVID. Well, if it doesn't fit the Biden administration's narrative, if it doesn't fit the liberal social media narrative, then they took it down. And what you just heard the young lady on Libs of TikTok say is, so Twitter did change its policies most recently. Twitter changed its policies most recently and came in and made it far more likely that they're going to take down things they don't like. When we get back, I'm going to tell you about Dr. Robert Malone. and his Joe Rogan podcast. And then I'm going to follow up with some other stuff like Dr. Malone thinks that we're in a thing he calls mass formation psychosis, where the entire nation gets led astray intentionally. And then on top of that, what other things are happening with social media hijinks? Well, I just went to a new one called Gitter. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Social media hijinks. We got it all right here. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.